Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the YKTR Sports Show. This is going to be an Origin preview and I'm pumped for it. I'm joined by my co-host, Skipper Scope. What's up, baby?
Thanks for having me, brother.
Hey, looking good in the blazer. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, cheers, bro. I like nice new little touch. Very professional.
Yeah, we're feeling professional, bro. Got the lights, got the laptops out. Feeling good. Bit of planning as well. Feel good.
Yeah, I hit you up too because I've had a few nice comments about the show that we did last week. Me and you don't really do a show together. And people have said, in particular, one comment sort of stood out, talking about, you know, our footy knowledge combined together. They like the idea of us doing more shows together. So I messaged you and said, why don't we do sort of more big games? So whether it be Origins, finals or big games, we get together and talk about tactically how the game's going to play out.
Yeah, exciting. So Origin tonight, how excited are you?
Yeah, this one in particular, I think based off last year's Queensland sort of shocking them, the fact that New South Wales are now somehow the underdogs with the talent, the team that they've got, there's a lot of unknowns coming out of this game, so we'll be trying to figure out some of those knowns that, you know, we think there are.
Yeah, Rugby League calendar, that's my favourite part of the year. Enjoy it being right in the middle of winter as well. Sort of NRL starts to dilute, so it's the best form of our game, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's the highlight of the game. And like you said, getting it back to the middle part of the game, feel like it's we've wanted to see it a little bit quicker this year in particular too, so it's perfect timing.
Yeah, so a bit of a touchy subject. Me and you have both sort of changed allegiances. You've actually grown up in New South Wales, so what's your excuse?
The boys. It's purely because of the boys. So everyone knows that I've got a really strong relationship, you know, through my podcast with the Prez.
Money for Prez.
You know, he's probably the main reason.
So not normally, not Chico.
Chez, no. Like I played with Chez. Like yeah. even when I used to play with Chez at Manly, I used to. Josh Darling has been getting into me on the socials. So Josh Darling, next teammate of mine at Manly, he's been ripping me about, you know, repping Western Sydney and all that sort of stuff. Well, you got to remember Western Sydney, like that's we're our own state, Western Sydney. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
We're our own demographic. Yeah. So like I said, I've said this a few times, my allegiance is to New Zealand. I get more excited. As much as I love Origin, I get way more excited about watching you do the haka. Yeah. When you played your one test. but yeah, watching the huckle means way more to me. I've always sort of just been a casual fan of Origin, just love that we've got the best players playing the game. But so like as much as I was a New South Wales supporter, I wasn't like fully engaged, like embraced them. So now that, you know, Chez, Munster, even KP,
the boys,
well, he's a vibe. So, you know, we both love him. So I find myself supporting Queensland now.
Yeah, I was a massive Joey Johns fan, so he was always wherever he went, I sort of followed. And I love New South Wales, but kind of when you do play football, you kind of pull away from the sort of rivalry because you don't really care as much. But Chico once said to me, he goes, name one Queenslander that you don't like. Mm. And this is like 2014-15, so I've officially changed allegiance. Money for prayers, Dane Gagai is my guy, so fucking up Queensland. All right, the biggest news of the day. This is huge too. This is huge. Scope, coming out of retirement, my son.
Yeah, going to throw the boots back on. It's been a minute, a couple of years of sort of, I've been asked to play.
You get itchy feet, eh?
I've had itchy feet on a few occasions, and the big thing was I was going to play with my brothers at my dad's. My dad was coaching Glenmore Park. That season didn't go ahead 2 years in a row. So I've always wanted to play with my brothers. I never had the opportunity to play with my brothers. And he's been playing at Belrose Eagles with one of my good mates, our good mates, Jimmy Bura. Mm. I asked Jimmy about 4 weeks ago if I could play just a game with Jimmy and my brother. But because of the point system, we weren't allowed to play. Everyone knows Jimmy Bura's injury history. he just finds a way to get injured. Oh, poor Jimmy. So he's told me he's well and truly done now as well. And therefore, there's a quota spot open up at Belrose Eagles. So not only are you going to get to play with my brother Jaden, my brother Jordan's going to come and play as well. Jaden's best mate, Lukey, played on the weekend. So it's going to be like a family affair. And if we can win a few games and try to get them, they're at the bottom side of the table as well. So,
you sort of nice. See that narrative, do you?
There is a narrative here. Yeah, we can build it up. Like I'm all about, you know, what's the long-term gain here? And if we can get him into the finals and then, you know, potentially go as far as we can, then that'll be nice as well.
Match payments?
That's still in discussions. Lil Bunsen would be nice. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
You love a good Bunsen, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit of Bunsen, considering I'm travelling from Cronulla to Manly, as you know. Mm. It's quite a long trek. I'll be giving up work on Sundays for it as well, which you know is another good Bunsen for me. So I've left that with Jimmy Bura.
position, you sort of tossed up 5'8". You said
Look,
your words, not mine, Johnny Sutton vibes.
Yeah, I'm very Johnny Sutton-ish. I think early on I want to play six or, you know, even centres just out wide to get that. Yeah. Even though it's Sydney Shield level, just need to get that back under my legs. People don't realise, you know, so I've been training a fair bit, but getting tackling and that wrestle and all that sort of stuff, that juices you out, man. And I haven't done any of that for 2 years, so.
Even when you're training full-time, your first trial, you always get, you know, that cork on the forearm. Like, your timing's always off, but you've been out of the game for a minute, so.
Yeah, so I just want a couple of games out wide, and then I'm so competitive, man. Once I get into that juices, I want to get a little bit closer. I wouldn't even mind playing, you know, we talk a lot about that roving ball playing middle role. I can see you laughing. I can see myself just like, Jimmy, that's what Jimmy played at Belrose, and we had conversations about it where you can sort of see at this level,
yeah,
where you can count. I can count numbers on either side and try to expose. I'll just give early ball to the edges. So,
young gifty, bro. Young gifty.
I can play in that dinner suit too, just stand and deliver. But then also
rock up in the blazer, bro. You'll be all right.
I will be stuck in the middle defending and potentially making fucking 20 or 30 tackles. So there's pros and cons to that position.
Man, a little bit more famous now than you've ever been. You scared your head to get taken off, or you'd encourage
it? I don't know. Yeah. So a big part of it, obviously my brother was playing and a few people were throwing out Scope would have made that tackle and all this sort of stuff, and that was pissing me off while I was watching it. So what they don't realise, I think people forget now that I've been doing this, maybe I wouldn't have made that tackle. If they were watching my games, probably I think I've built a bit of a character here now where people might think I'm better than what I am. So
yeah, I think that's all of us here, bro. Yeah. All right, let's sort of roll into Origin. I'm going to talk about stadium. They have shifted from Melbourne up to North Queensland. I've even got stats down there. 8 o'clock, clear skies, 19 degrees, 47% humidity. Does this play into the factor of the game?
Yeah, I think, but I just think it's going to be a really enjoyable game. You take it away from Melbourne. You know, I don't know what the conditions would have been like for Melbourne down there, but I can't imagine grey and cloudy and a bit wet. I think this is just going to be, for me, I don't see a clear advantage for myself.
What about home ground advantage? Is that one? I feel like boos are just as exciting as getting cheered on, eh?
Yeah, maybe it's, I don't know. It's just because of the unknown of Townsville for me.
Yeah.
I think it was at Suncorp 100%. Like the way that they lift us to play at Suncorp, that's a different beast. So speaking to Brycey Cartwright a couple of days ago, he said it's a similar vibe. It's a similar feeling in terms of, you know, what you feel when you're out on the field there at Townsville. So I'm a little bit on the fence. I'm waiting to see how it plays out in particular. I honestly don't know. I've never played at that ground before, so.
How does 47% humidity feel? I don't know what that sort of feels like. We can't get a gauge on it, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
So does that make the ball a little bit slippery? Maybe. And the game's sped up a lot quicker now, so I'm enjoying probably a drier track than you would have got down in Melbourne. So yep. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think obviously Townsville's going to get around Queensland, so I think there's a massive advantage there. But yeah, who knows? All right, let's dive into New South Wales. We've sort of broken it down into a bunch of different factors: preparation from the outside, strengths, perceived weaknesses, how do you see them attacking, leader of the pack, and who's your X factor. We're sort of going to break this down across both teams. New South Wales, preparation from the outside. Man, they look super relaxed. Freddie's got them. I think any time with Freddie, it always looks super fun.
Yeah.
Addo Carr's sort of been the standout. Would have liked to see Jerome and Brian Tall. But they're probably in their first match, so they're probably cruising a little bit.
Yeah.
But it looks like a good team.
Yeah, it's a couple of combinations in particular. You talked about Jerome and Brian. Even Sandor just putting a little clip up about, you know, the handshakes and all that sort of stuff. Those are only little things, but like that vibe that players have, it's something that they've talked about leading into it with the combinations that I think is going to be important. Also watched another thing on Facebook last night, and it was an interview between Fox and Latrell.
Yep.
About doing some work in the Indigenous community while they're up there. And Danny Widler asked Latrell what it was like to be, you know, playing next to Fox again, and he sort of just took a moment.
Yeah.
Like
he sort of half tearing up.
Not, I don't think he was going to tear up, but they sort of had a bit of a giggle, but you could tell it meant a lot to him.
Oh, of course.
So they seem like a harmonious squad right now, New South Wales, and you know, I'm sort of giving away where I might be leaning, but yeah, I think it's been a really good, enjoyable camp for New South Wales.
Dally Cherry Evans comments last year on the podium, has that been brought up in camp, you reckon?
I don't know, because it was more to do with what people were saying about Queensland, and it was less.
Wasn't so personal.
I reckon. I said to Chez, he should have gone harder last year, and if he had gone harder, maybe there might have been more to that. But yeah, I think Freddie, like I said, Freddie last year talked about, you know, their favourites, they deserve to be favourites. He sort of played, he was playing that sort of card, and this year it's been a little bit more reserved and going about their business. So.
We talk about this a lot because you need a balance of players within, and it's going to be talking about a little bit of race, but so the white boys, the Islander boys, plus the Indigenous. I was looking at the team photo that they had yesterday after captain's run. Man, they've got the perfect balance, those boys. You've got the power and Payne Haas, Junior Paula. You've got the workhorses in Trbojevic and Isaiah Yao. You've got the Indigenous boys that got the X factor for you. Man, it's a well-balanced side, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. The nucleus of that Penrith team in particular just seems like, on top of all of that, that core group of like five or six, and Jerome and Nathan in particular in the middle, just controlling both sides.
All right, New South Wales strengths.
I've talked about this before on a couple of the other shows. I've gone the impact of the bench. I think that is the clear advantage for me for New South Wales. I had it in my three topics that I had, you know, we organically sort of did this last week, but I want to go a little bit more into it. I think I can see both packs really filling themselves out and both packs doing a really good job for Queensland and New South Wales. But when I look at the bench, and this is respectfully, of course, to the Queensland bench,
of course,
when you've got
everything
Payne,
is respectful.
Payne Haas and Junior Paulo coming on in the 20 to 30 minute mark, I think, you know, everyone in that pack for New South Wales can play big minutes. So if they can stretch it out and do such, you know, a really good job up until, if they can push it all the way to that 30 minute mark, and then you've got Payne Haas and Junior Paulo coming on at the 30 minute mark with 10 to go and to just fucking gas out, I think that's going to be a real strength. And that if they could put on, you know, a try or two just before half time to sort of extend a lead or take a lead, I think that'll be crucial.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I agree with you. My strength for them is sort of outside backs. When you look at the forwards and halves, and they kind of cancel each other out. But with the outside backs, and I know Gagai's there and he's my guy, they're just a little bit classier out there. They got, Tommy Turbo, Latrell's coming back and he's excited. You got Tor and Fox, and then Tedesco, pretty much the game's best player. So for me, that's sort of the clear advantage, but we'll talk about Queensland a little bit later. Perceived weaknesses.
All right, so the perceived weaknesses are the heights of the New South Wales. This is the New South Wales wingers. This has been talked about a fair bit with Tor and Addo Carr.
Addo Carr's solid underneath a high ball. I reckon Tor's got those questions about him.
I think just in particular, so it's, Brian Tor's had a couple of games this year. I'll look back to the Brisbane game which obviously stands out now because he could be potentially marked up against X. They put the ball up a fair bit. He dropped the ball a couple of times in that game. It's something that they're going to be looking at. It's also to do with the height, obviously, of the wingers. You've got Kyle Fulton and Xavier Coates, who are going to be maybe a head taller than both of those players. X is fucking maybe two heads taller.
And got bounce.
Yep.
And Hops extended of reach.
Yeah, Hops of Doom. So it'll be up to Munster and DC to put that on. But the way I think they combat that is in the pack. They've got a really defensively strong middle pack. And then all of those guys, when you look at Cam Murray and Tarek Sims on the edge, or even Isaiah Yao and Damian Cook, all four of those guys are really mobile and fit players. Mm. So it's going to be up to them to be putting on plenty of kick pressure, and that's how I think they combat that.
Who's the kicker for Queensland? No, that's where I sort of see their strength is. Harry Grant can kick, Cheers can kick, Munster can kick. Would have been cool if KP was there, so it'd be a little bit harder to identify who the main kicker is. But I think Manning will take a lot of the long distance ones, but should be good.
Yeah, well, if we go back to the way that Melbourne were able to neutralise Naif's game, it's really important. That's why I named all four or five players in the pack. Like, it's not going to be, you know, Tarek Sims is really good at kick pressure. He's the guy. It's up to Cookie. He's the guy.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be all collective. All four or five getting after him and putting pressure on.
My biggest weakness is I feel like every team, your biggest strength is always your biggest weakness. Outside backs, man. It's going to be hard for, Nathan can do it for sure, but man, when you look outside, you've got Tommy Turbo, you've got Latrell, you've got Tedesco. You've almost got too many options. So I think they can sort of fall into the trap of trying to shift it a little bit too early. And like, Gagai's no slouch. Capewell's no slouch as well. So I think as much as their biggest strength is who they got on their side, sometimes it might be like too much Chiefs, not enough Indians, that type of vibe. So, man, it's going to be really, really good test for Nathan to see how he balances that out.
Yeah.
Because you're surrounded by superstars, and a lot of the times when you see super teams get put together, it's like, who's the boss? Who's leading the charge?
Do you think he's at that point of his career now where he can control that on this arena?
He's going to have to. He's the best club player. And all those greats, your Thurstons, your Cooper Cronks, your Joeys, they were able to execute on that higher level in terms of grand finals and Origins. This is just that next little progression for Nathan right now.
Yeah,
he's already done it. He's already the man at club. He just needs to win a comp. But this is that next little level, and I think he's ready.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. How do you see them attacking?
So I see them, I'm going back to the pack and the way that the teams played out. You got all three edge back rows. Obviously, Isaiah can play through the middle, and so can Jakey. But with Tarek and Cam Murray, if they end up being the edges for him, I feel like they're two guys that'll be laying the lines. They'll be looking to attack. I'm not even too sure if they'll be too focused on attacking one side in particular, but I just feel like those two guys are going to be battering rams. Cam Murray is a specialist at getting a quick play of the ball for Cookie. So whether they use him up like that, I know, Nath, if he's playing on the right edge, might use him to get at the three, and then they'll play long shifts. That's the way I think it might play out.
Yeah, I think you're very similar too. Play very much 6-4 split. Jerome will hold us wide. I think they'll use a middle, but then they'll use Jakey and their other middle to sort of get out the back towards the right.
Yep.
So Jerome is going to hold us wide 4, and then it's going to be like a tight block or a double shape with either Jakey or Isaiah Yell out the back to Cleary and off the back of there as well. So that's how I see them attacking. I think the one sort of limiting thing is Luaj used to playing with someone like a Kikau, where you got so many different options off the back of that, where Tarek Sims is like, he's going to punch a hole for you, he's going to give you effort. So it's going to be a slight adjustment for him, but he's classy enough to do it.
You know how he normally does that shape where Kikau gets out the back of Burton? So for people that are watching the games, normally they have the back rower runs that line inside the three men, and they have the fullback sweeping out. Pembroke have a little variation where they do – some other teams do it, but Penrith do it really well, where Burton runs that hard line and Kikau gets out the back. I wonder if they get in a position where they just swap Latrell and Tarek. Tarek still runs that line inside the two-man this time, and Latrell gets out the back. So that's something that works for him at Penrith, and it's a little variation where they could easily just swap the bodies around and do that with Latrell, I think.
Yeah, it'd be interesting how Cookie sort of adjusts the plan of these two as well, where Api Kurosawa could walk in and have that flow, where you look at a lot of big Origin moments, it's been Cookie and Tedesco kind of going through the middle, so they're going to have that option as well, and Nath's a really good support player, so it could be kind of through the middle. Like, it looks like they're shaping up wide, but it might be actually just through the middle.
Yep,
so who's the leader of the pack on New South Wales, in your eyes?
Yeah, my eyes, it's Jakey Turbo. It's not your sort of
behind the line talking style.
Yeah, he's not your aggressive guy, but Jakey's made for Origin. He'll be able to play a little bit of footy if the pace is quick. But I think in particular, starting him defensively, he's going to stiffen him right up. Like, that's his bread and butter, Jakey. You don't have to set the tone by screaming in people's faces and rah rah and starting fights, because that's not Jakey's game. Mm. But a couple of those fucking bone rattlers in the first 15 minutes, getting right underneath the rib cage where Jakey likes it. If he can pull a couple of those off, him and Cam Murray can both hit right under the ball nicely, and I think that'll set the tone for New South Wales.
I'm going to go a little spanner in the works here. I'm going Saifidi.
Yep.
Yeah. If you go to Newcastle, his form at Newcastle's been really good. His game leading into this, he was sort of the guy
that
sort of
Manly.
People gravitated towards. You got to think Clemmer, who was seen as a pack. I feel like he's easily overtaken Clemmer and that sort of.
Yeah, he's leader of the pack now for sure.
Leader of the pack in Newcastle, and I think this is his moment to shine. I was looking at, obviously, I know Jakey and all those boys are there as well, but man, sometimes when you're in those big games, you just need that sort of Sammy Burgess style guy. When Boyd Cordner was always that for them.
Yeah.
When the game's fucking tough and you're 25 minutes in and there hasn't been a scrum break or a penalty, you look over, and who's the guy taking the carry? I think this is his time, bro. I think this is time to really cement himself as one of the game's best forwards. And he's got a starting position over Junior Paulo and Payne Haas.
That's a massive call.
That's
right.
Huge, bro. That's huge. So, man, I think he's going to be the guy. Who's the X factor?
Latrell. Yep. Latrell. I've been on this for a week or so. Just also going off some of those interactions that I've seen in camp. He looks really relaxed. I said this with Jack. I don't know if you've seen this. I think you look, they've sort of mixed and moved players out of position to play these centres roles. The fact that Latrell's a renowned centre before he moved to fullback, but also the fact that he's played fullback now for 18 months. he's going to have a little bit more juice in the engine,
yep,
I think.
Agree.
I feel like he's going to be the X factor. I've actually declared him Smokey for player of the match. Mm-hmm. I think he can have a big impact. It'd be interesting to see who lines up again. I'm going to get into a bit further down with Queensland, whether Kurt Capewell – respect. Sorry to Kirk Capewell. I've called him Luke Capewell a couple of times on these shows, and people have
pulled you up.
Corrected
on that.
Me. Corrected thank me you, on that. Thank so you for thanks for that. Us. I played against Luke Capewell. I believe he's his cousin.
Yeah, Rocky.
A fair bit coming through in the juniors. So that's where that mix up happened. But you know, whether it's Origin Gags or Kurt Capewell, I think Latrell's going to have a big game.
Yeah. He looks a lot calmer. You got to think he's done everything, pretty much everything in the game already. Everything. And I feel like he's got so much more room to improve. He's still going to have that season that Turbo's having right now. And obviously he's got it in him where maybe he gets to 25, 26, 27 and he gets that almost GI-like presence, which he's already got. But it's just like there was times when GI had the ball where you're like, fuck, he could score whenever he wanted. And Tommy's kind of got that about him as well.
I feel like he was just on the cusp of it last year before he got injured. Like they were going, he was going on a little run, like a little 2 to 3 game run and then tore his hammy really badly. But
he's kind of got that niggle out of his game now. You know when he was kind of like, you know, Dowell's got in his game. And he's kind of matured past that. Yeah, so he looks calm. For me, it's got to be Nathan Cleary if they win the series. Man, a lot of the times you think of last year's grand final, he was the best player on the park. But he's, like I said before, he's at that level now where he's such a good club player. He needs to transfer it into rep footy and he can do it. Like there's no one in Australia that would be down and he could do it, but for me it's him. All right, let's dive into our team, the Queenslanders, fucking up the Maroons. Preparation from the outside. Man, I haven't really seen too much. The one thing I have seen is Dan Gagai, the tonsillitis. Do you believe in these yarns or?
He probably had tonsillitis, but he's never in doubt. I get tonsillitis every fucking 3 or 4 weeks. He would have been sweet. The thing with Queensland is when you look at New South Wales and we talk about them being relaxed and all that sort of, you know, positive stuff about how the camp looks. That's just how Queensland look every camp. Like they sort of just go about their business. You sort of try to find ways to pick and poke at them, but it's a little bit harder because they're naturally fucking relaxed. Just
they're cruisy people.
Up there. So it's not like they have to fabricate it. I'm not saying New South Wales have, but it's just Queensland being Queensland, man.
Paul Green,
fuck, I haven't seen much of Paul Green, eh?
He's proven. Like, he's a proven coach. Like, he's won comps. But, yeah, I think these types of camps are a little bit different, eh? You just got to get everyone around quickly. But I think he's got a great support team. You see photos of JT in the background. And apparently Billy Slater's, like, one of the smartest dudes ever. And Denormi goes, bro, you should hear him talk about football. He goes, he talks about things you wouldn't even think of. So, man, they've got that great support system in and around him.
Yeah, I was just speaking to someone recently about Billy Slater. If it comes to me, we'll get back to it.
Queensland strengths.
Where are we? DC and Munster.
Yeah.
Known commodities. They've both done it at this level. They've both done it at club level. They've got a really good combination. I think I talked about it a number of times. I think they set the tone for the Origin Series win in game one last year in the first 20 minutes. Even though results didn't go their way off the back of it, I thought they started the game.
They looked a better team, eh?
Those two in particular, like, fuck, I just remember how many times they got their hands on the ball. They're moving the ruck around a little bit. They have a really good combination. I spoke a fair bit, again, about DCE's what's the word for it? He's just so comfortable in how he knows how to lead a team now.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother him if Munster's the guy. Like if Munster goes out and comes up with a couple of big plays, he's all about winning. He knows he's comfortable where he is as the number seven. Mm. The talk about, you know, him versus Cleary won't fucking bother him at all. He'll just go about his business and he'll make sure he gets the team in the best possible position to win.
For me, it's placebo, the Queensland spirit. Like, you always hear about it so many fucking times, but it's been like 30 or 40 years. And it's too consistent for it to be like a...
not to be a thing.
A coincidence, you know. And I've read a book on Alex Ferguson and they used to have this sort of theme at Manchester United when it was the last quarter. He used to always sort of tap his watch like Dame Dollar. Like, I don't know, it just happens too often for it to not be true. Mm. And you put a Queensland jersey on anyone, they become worth 150 to 200K more off the back of just who they are. And Gagai doesn't like being called the Origin gags, but man, he's just so much different there. Like, you look at everyone when they play Origin for Queensland, they all seem to just get a little bit better. Even like last year, they just dragged the team together and ended up winning. So for me, it's just something about Queensland and the Queensland spirit, whether it's placebo, whether it's mind games with the other opposition, that it's happened so much. Man, it's kind of like the Warriors when they're like, oh, they'll get tired.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes packs are bigger than ours.
Yeah, so you can go, it can flow negative, like it can go be a positive or a negative in terms like, once you're, it's the same, bro, like confidence. When a team's losing, like you go, oh, fuck, it's going to come.
It's coming. Yeah.
And when you're winning games or you've been at better teams, you're like, we'll be right. Mm. Like, and that's sort of, I guess, what Queensland will be thinking going into this game. Like,
Does Origin mean more to Queensland than it does to New South Wales as a fan base? I think it does.
I think it does.
Just,
I don't know. Like, there are a few.
We're going to get back for this. Yeah. But I just think it does.
No, it does. Like, you don't find as many passionate New South Welshmen like Josh Starling getting around as you do with guys like Queensland. It's just like, it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
Like, we're so, I think that what plays into it as well, like, just the way we are as people down here, there's a lot more.
Oh, we're going a cooler city.
Yeah.
We're a cooler
city. There's so much more stuff going on down here that. You know, I suppose if you go out to Western Sydney and Newcastle and some of those areas, but when you feel like...
Yeah, we live city though, don't we?
Yeah, it feels like Queensland. Like,
how many...
I don't think many people in Bondi give a rat, really, if New South Wales or Queensland win the series.
How many New South Wales flags have you seen this week? On a car or something?
Yeah, none.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe up in Queensland they'll be out and about one day.
That's a fair point.
Perceived weaknesses for Queensland. I'll start first. Okay. Mine's goal kicking.
Yeah.
Who kicks? Valentine Holmes? That'd be it, eh? Valentine Holmes would be
the
kicker.
Let's hope it's not Prez.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So here's a question. Who's New South Wales quicker?
Yeah, Cleary.
So you know he's accurate. He kicks around 90%. Yeah. In a game that's going to be a lot quicker, where there's going to be a lot more tries, man, going up in sixes compared to fours could be the difference. So where do you see
that? Will it be Val, eh?
Yeah, it'd have to be Val, I reckon.
Kyle Felt can kick as well?
I think he's more kickoff. Oh, that's a bonus, his kickoffs.
Yeah.
He'd be giving them torpies of doom. So, for me, it's goal kicking.
Yeah.
Yours?
My perceived weaknesses are the outside backs. I've highlighted, you know, Latrell and Tommy Turbo, Teddy, compared to Origin Gags. He's probably the one guy that matches up. That's got the reputation of matching up against guys like that arena.
He will match up.
But Kurt Capewell and Brimo. Can Brimo replicate what he did in that game one last year before he bailed out? He was unreal in that first game last year and sort of put himself on the map in terms of, like, you know, what people thought he could do going into the future at this level.
It would have topped up his contract too. 100%.
Yeah, and part of, like, you know, what he can do with the Titans. So it depends on who the big one for me is, as well as he's done last year and how well he's done at club level, where whoever Kurt Capewell lines up on, because when I was talking about last week, I had him matching up on Latrell, but when I
looked... Nah, here go Tommy on the right, I reckon.
Last year he was on the left-hand side, and Gags, even though he plays left side for Rabbitohs, I think he plays right side for Queensland.
Nah, he plays right side for Rabbitohs.
Left side? Sure? He played left side on the weekend.
Graham and
Alex Johnson, yeah, so...
Oh, yeah,
Gags is very versatile, so that's the thing that throws a spanner in the works. Gags can play both sides, and obviously Luke Capewell is an edge-back role who can play all over the field, so... Mm. This is another thing with Queensland too we didn't talk about. Like, the fact that they don't name their side, I reckon that's such an advantage, man. I don't know why, like, New South Wales feel the need to name their side and sort of give an idea of who's playing where. I think even Freddie joked around that he had a Brian To'o and Addo Carr switch sides for the last training session.
Yeah.
Which is like trying to be a little bit...
Nah, you're not fooling anyone
there. Yeah, you're not fooling anyone there. So.
How do you see them attacking?
DCE on the ball and Munster playing a traditional six role. So I said,
he plays it really wide too. He sort of holds that scrum line. They sort of zing the ball really wide. Very versatile halves, both of them.
Yeah, and they can both play both roles at a really high level.
Agreed.
But I think it will suit him really well. Would have been nice to have KP there if KP played. For people that watch the Knights play, when he sits, I feel like he does his best work when he sits on a short side, plays from a wide four. So what that means is you've got four and four defenders, and if KP ends up getting a middle that gets stuck at A or B, and then he'll get the green light to have a crack, because therefore he can skip on that outside. He does that nice little goosey that everyone loves so much, and he can play short, long, or even over the top. And then you've got, and if that's not on, if they line up perfectly, then you've got Chez and Chez playing on the ball at seven. Yep. He's either got both middles on the inside or playing out the back of the middles. Quick ball out to Munster, and Munster can do his thing on the outside as well.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a little smoke in here around Kaufusi. So I think they're going to use Fifita to lay a line, very similar to what you do, and use Munster to attack the right side because they've got Jerome Luai out there as well with Tarek Sims, Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of like he's – even though he's – renowned center Dean up there is like a little bit different, but why I like Kaufusi so much, the versatility. So you look at someone like, you said the boy's going to punch a line for you, you can run so many variations of shape off the back of Kaufusi. He can run a tight line for you, he can pop that outline for you, you can give it early, he can pop it out the back as well. A lot of the time Melbourne sort of run that shape where they'll do a doubles and then he'll turn up to Valentine Holmes.
Semi Thaida used to do that really well for Queensland back in the day with Billy.
And when you've got a fullback like a Valentine Holmes who's not known to strip people with a pass, I think that double shape with the turn-up, we used to call it like a bait line, I think that's where some tries could be scored out the back there. So
yeah, Melbourne and Queensland back rails have all been always good at that throughout the years.
Yeah, and like I said, there's so many different options you can play off the back of Kaufusi. So I'm excited to see him in there. And Chez has always really played with skillful right side back roles.
Yeah, that's where he does his best work for sure.
He needs a guy that he doesn't need him, but he operates better when
he sets what he does. He likes to do it. If you watch it early on in the game, he might rip it nice and early to him because he likes to set up his run.
Yeah,
because he's a really good runner of the footy. But sometimes when you talk about halves taking on the ball, sometimes taking on the line, they need to get some momentum first, and just like it's like a little double bluff. He's given it away early. He wants to shift, and then he'll have a crack.
Who's the leader of the pack?
Tino.
For you?
Yeah. Tino for me.
I've gone White Rhino with Tino's a bee's dick behind him. And they both come from the same system. I think Tino's a lot better player than he was playing in the comp last year because he sees himself as a leader.
Yep.
He was coming off the bench. But, man, White Rhino.
We've gone a little bit different. So you've gone like sort of the Jakey to Christian Welsh for Queensland.
Yeah.
With the sort of no-nonsense, going to, you know, get about his work and that sort of vibe. And then I've gone for that little bit of X factor like you've got with Safidi. Like he's going to be a little bit more in your face. And I feel like Tino's going to be...
I reckon White Rhino is just going to be just in front of the line, and this is what I mean by a B-stick. But I reckon he's the one that's going to be like the point of the defence line, where he's the one trying to put on shots and kick pressure.
Yeah,
and then
his line speed's unreal.
They might step into Tino. That's how I see it happening.
Yeah,
yeah, and like Melbourne, man, those guys never play bad. Like that's why I've got Kaufusi on there. Tino's come from that system, man. You just love to play for Melbourne, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
always turn up.
Yeah.
Had your chance, goat, baby.
You know, well, not really. I was keen.
Wasn't for lack of effort. Yeah. All right. We both agreed on this. X Factor.
Baby goat.
Harry Grant. Man, he can shift the game on his own. Showed us last year. Man, I just, no respect, respectfully to Corky and that, I just think he's the best hooker in the comp. And
yeah,
I wouldn't say easily.
Not easily, but
more versatile than anyone else. He can run, he can pass, he can play short, he can kick, he can play within different structures, he can play off the back of offloads. He's just got it, bro.
His ruck manipulation, bro, it's so goaty. Like it's so goat-ish. It's so goatish, man. You can tell he's an understudy. He's been around Cam. Little subtleties looking. It's not even big, bro. It's just like a little bit of body language. It just gets the markers to shift a little bit, and then. You know, some players have got that, but then they don't have that initial speed. Like even Cam didn't have it. Like Cam was nice, but Baby Goat can go, man. Mm. Like he can go off the mark and fucking – he's fucking probably a little bit nuggetier and stronger in terms like Cam Smith was like Mongo strength.
Yeah.
Like, for people who don't realise that didn't play against him. When you got into Cam Smith and you try to fucking tackle him, you try to take him to the ground. Him and Munster are the same. Like you try to take him to the ground and they can just stand there like that and get a base and they're so strong. Whereas like – Harry Grant and Cheese, they're that more traditional, like stocky, strong. Like,
have you ever seen that photo?
Drive you up.
Have you ever seen that photo when he's in Bloke in the Bar and he's wearing Budgie Smugglers and there's a photo of him from behind? But he's got a fucking silverback for a back.
It's yeah, who's like that? Baby Goat.
Baby Goat. Yeah. Little silverback.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. So, he's my X factor. If I think in particular in his second stint, if they're still thereabouts, because he's just one of those guys. You notice it at the Tigers, bro. Like, he. Plays that he was doing at the Tigers, like straight away when I identified and spoke to Normie about it, put him on Normie's radar, I said, bro, this guy's like a Melbourne Origin player. Like, no wonder fucking
everyone's fighting.
Everyone's frothing over. He's doing stuff in the when he's playing for the Tigers, I'm just like, bro, keeps turning up, driving on loose balls in the in goals, getting kick pressure, like, and getting up and out on his feet. Like,
this will be the challenge for him here. The biggest challenge for him is getting his pack rolling forward, where he's got enough subtleties within his game when everything's moving like a little bit quicker within Origin, that he can like those little manipulations that he does well and Upper Carousel do well, man, they get your pack rolling forward and everything good is going to happen off the back of Harry Grant.
Yeah, I agree.
Final score predictions.
30-20 New South Wales.
Oh, you going with him?
Yeah.
Shit, baby. I'm going bias. I'm going 28-22 to Queensland.
Is that what you want the score to be, or I want is that be, what you, yeah. you genuinely think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be that. I'm biased. Yeah. I'll just stay biased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as I want to see Queensland win, I just think, you know, when I was going, especially when you start breaking down the game, start breaking down all the points, and then I'm obviously favouring more to New South Wales. Yeah. So that's making me go that.
Yeah.
I think it might be close, 24-20 with like a try at the end.
Oh, okay. Let's just put it this way. If they said put the house on it, I'd probably change. Fuck it, I'm saying Queensland. Xavier Coates, anytime try score for me off the back of a kick. Who's yours?
Fox double.
Bit of a jam.
Yeah, so. two or more from the Fox. I think everything's connected with everything, my scores, my how I'm
playing. It kind of flows Latrell, all to the left side, eh? Yeah.
Everything that I'm picking is basically, so if one thing goes wrong, if Latrell has a stinker, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And all this analysis doesn't work.
That kind of makes sense what you're doing. Like, there's a theme behind what you're doing. I'm just going all over the shop.
Yeah.
Goal kicking, Queensland spirit. Yeah. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Looking forward to the Origin. We'll do a review show tomorrow. So tune into YKTR Sports. Like, comment, and subscribe. Thanks, Skipper.
Thank you.
That was good, bro.
Yeah,
you can feel it. Just